Philadelphia-based Preet, the big owner of mall properties, is still bullish on the retail shopping experience in bricks and mortar stores. All the while, it's repositioning space in many of its properties to align with new consumer expectations such as grocery stores, dining, entertainment, and other experiential retail tenants. We had an opportunity to speak with Joe Corradino, the chairman and CEO of Preet, to talk about how the Real Estate Investment Trust is having success transforming its portfolio by exiting underperforming properties and reinvesting in its profitable assets. He joined us by phone from his office in Philadelphia. So you guys have had quite a bit of success with the reinvention of your malls, with repurposing some of these anchor stores. Tell me how that's unfolding and what are the things that you're seeing with respect to the kinds of tenants you're able to bring in?
Well, first of all, I mean, it's, you know, well, I'd love to tell you that we, you know, we make magic. You know, it's really about the quality of the property and the quality of the location. And so for us, you know, we got out in front of things. We sold off, you know, 16 lower quality malls, and we maintained a presence, a significant presence, owning 7 of the 19 malls in the Philly market and 4 of the 19 malls in the D.C. market. And the result was that we, either through being proactive, you know, in some cases with Sears or getting stores back with Macy's, some Macy's stores back, we have properties that were well located in strong markets. And as a result, have met with a great deal of success in terms of repurposing those boxes, if you will.
The thing that we keep hearing on the one hand is that e-commerce is going to be terribly devastating to bricks and mortar retail. And on the other hand, we hear from people saying it's such a small percentage of the overall retail market that bricks and mortar still has some life left in it. And yet, you know, we're seeing some transitioning into different kinds of tenants. And I hear this term experiential retail a lot. Is that something that you think has legs? Is it something you're pursuing actively?
Well, you know, the simple answer, by the way, there are no simple answers in this business, but the simple answer is yes. I mean, we've grown our dining and entertainment since 2012, the proportion of our space, by 36%. You know, we sit today at around 19% of our space is dining and entertainment. If you kind of did a look, and that number will grow in the relative near term to 25%. But if you do a look back, you know, if we were having this conversation a decade ago, we probably wouldn't be having it. We'd be talking about, you know, food courts as the food offerings, and maybe one restaurant at some of the better malls. And obviously, you know, today with Dave & Buster's and tenants like Five Wits and Legoland, et cetera, et cetera, you know, there are a lot more tenants to choose from in that category, and more, by the way, showing up every day. And I, you know, I'm not joking about that. I mean, it's hard to keep track of all the new entertainment concepts that are out there. And so yes, that's part of it. The dining and entertainment, the experiential retail, if you will. But I think it's also, almost a kind of case-by-case basis. I mean, I'll give you an example. At Plymouth Meeting Mall, outside of Philadelphia, 45% of the space in that mall is dining and entertainment, right? And as a, you know, again, looking at that, call it 20% average that I talked about moving to 25%. At that property, we're at 45%, probably moving to 50. You know, conversely, at arguably our best mall, we're less than 5% at Cherry Hill. Right now, we'll do some things to change that by bringing in a sizable entertainment use. But even with that, we're not going to get up to anywhere near probably double that 10%. So it's not a cookie cutter. Clearly, dining and entertainment experiential is part of the solution. But also, when you think about these anchor boxes, there's been a best way to characterize it is that retailers have become indifferent as to property type. We're now about to open up our second Whole Foods in a mall, right? And they were typically an open air center. We'll do a number of TJX deals. We have a number of a Burlington under construction right now in Magnolia, Magnolia Mall in Florence, South Carolina. You would add to that, the Five Below concept. There's another concept that was traditionally open air. So it's the best location wins. So you've got dining. You've got entertainment, you've got off-price retail, value retail, grocery. If you will. You got grocery. We're on our way to doing a couple of, actually have leases out with a major fitness concept for half of an anchor space. So leisure and fitness are a key part of the solution. So to say that, our business is anything other than alive, well, and vibrant, is almost silly. It's funny. I was just on an ICS. I'm the VP for the East Coast for ICSC, volunteer position. And we were just talking about, with all of the state directors in my region, literally the call before this, we were talking about, kind of mandates and things that we needed to do to, and one of the key things is exactly what I'm doing with you, but it's got to occur at a grassroots level to communicate the other side of the story, right? Because the other side of the story is that business is good.
How is the Whole Foods thing up at Plymouth Meeting seemed to be very transformational to me. It revitalized a good portion of that property. Is that your sense?
Yes. I think if my memory serves me well, and I hate to do this with the press, but my memory serves me well, that was the first Whole Foods at a mall in America. And I think I'm correct on that. And they opened up, and one of the things that is kind of unique to Philadelphia, maybe it may occur in other markets, is that most Whole Foods were former Freshfields, right? Freshfields was, I don't know how old you are, if you remember that brand, Freshfields was the predecessor. It was a small, regional chain that operated stores very similar to Whole Foods. And those stores were about 18,000 square feet. And when we opened at Whole Foods, and I believe it was 2009 at Plymouth Meeting Mall, it was 65,000 feet. So it literally took the market by storm. Given the location of Plymouth Meeting Mall, which, you'd be surprised by this maybe, but if you've been there, you wouldn't. We have 90 million cars a year that traverse that road network around the property. So the store took off like a bat out of hell, if you will. And, you know, never looked back. I happen to, by the way, have a weed allergy. So it's where I shop because it has the best selection of weed-free and the broadest selection of weed-free products in the region. So bottom line is that's been a great addition to the mall. And, you know, if you look at the food volumes coming out of there, because we also, you know, opened up P.F. Chang's and Redstone Grill, Benihana and California Pizza Kitchen, Dave & Buster's. And by the way, we'll add a couple more restaurants in the not-too-distant future. I mean, the restaurants and entertainment there, Legoland, another one that is just a great draw. It's hard to run into somebody who doesn't say, you know, either I've been to Legoland or I've been to one of the restaurant or entertainment concepts there.
That seems to be what brings people out now, is things that they can do or participate in that they couldn't do by sitting at home and clicking on the computer.
You know, we're opening up a concept there called Five Wits. You'll find this interesting, by the way. And it's basically a MIT PhD that worked for Disney for a number of years doing ride and game design. And he started a company, I guess it's probably 5 years old at this point, called Five Wits. And it's sort of the best way I describe it, and he probably wouldn't describe it this way, is a technological escape room on steroids, right? So you basically go into this room, and I went and played. He has three or four of these games, if you will, in the space. One would be a Star Trek kind of a game. Another would be a Raiders of the Lost Ark. You know, different kinds of different themes, and you go in. And you literally are trapped in there, but it's like a Disney ride. If you remember Pirates of the Caribbean, when you walk in and you're in this dark space, and all of a sudden this air blows on you, it feels like the floor is going to drop, and all this, and then a screen comes on, and well, you're in that environment, but it's up to you to get out, right? So you're given clues, do this, do that, and then you're scored on it, right? So you compete with other people who did the game, etc. Great concept. We'll open that up, I believe, in November. You know, we got 450,000 college kids in the Philly market.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of them are going to go do that. You can rest assured.
Oh, no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, so I mean, that's kind of, you know, that's the kind of thing that, again, it's not a cookie cutter. It's truly, you know, this business used to be a business where you go to Las Vegas to our annual convention, you go to New York to ICSC's deal-making convention, and you'd sit your leasing people in a room, and they would, you know, the retailers would come in and say, I'll take, you know, three stores, five stores, eight stores, two over here, one there, and people will come back and get on the plane. I can remember this, by the way, and say, I made 40 deals, right? That party is over, right? This business is about looking at each and every property, you know, carefully, thoughtfully, understanding the demographics, the psychographics, and looking for solutions that go way out of the box, right? The box isn't, you know, junior or apparel retailers. The box is dining. It's entertainment. It's off price. It's fitness. It's, you know, a number of possibilities. And by the way, again, going back to where I started this at, the good news is, you know, location is still important. And one thing's for sure, there's nothing, you know, there's very few property types that have better locations than malls, right? You know, the old story, when you built the mall, you buy the best real estate and you don't care what it costs. Right.
Right. You know, you've been in the industry for a long time. I wonder if taking a look back, you could say there was something that the traditional, big box brand name retailers, the carriage trade retailers, could have done to change the way things evolved or to slow their decline. Anything that Sears or Macy's or JCPenney could have done differently in your mind?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. You know, as you look at you know, the each of them, there was a lot of consolidation in the department store industry, right, over the years, and nobody ever closed stores. I mean, when I say ever closed stores, you'd get 4, 5, 6 stores a year, you know, or maybe 4, 5, 6 stores every other year. There's very little store closings. In spite of consolidation, right? So if you look at the Philadelphia market, Macy's bought the two major family-owned department stores in Philadelphia, both Wanamaker's and Strawbridge's. And, you know, so all of a sudden you had Macy's within a couple of miles of one another, right? That shouldn't be, right? Over time, they should have culled that store base, right? And then you layered on top of that the internet, if you will, or online shopping, and you end up with a situation where the store count, which is too much to begin with in a particular geographic area, becomes exacerbated by online shopping. So I think number one, they could have culled the store count earlier and more efficiently. And, you know, the second thing is, if you look at, you know, if you look at the retailers, be they department stores or any kind of box, the ones that are successful, it's about differentiation. Nordstrom's point of differentiation was always service, right? When you went to a Nordstrom store and you bought a tie, you got a note afterwards that said, thanks for buying the tie. And, a relationship was formed, if you will, albeit, a superficial relationship, but a relationship was formed. You know, you look at Lululemon, what's their key? Their key is not only do you buy the apparel, but you can take yoga classes in the store. If you look at REI, not only can you, you know, buy, you know, what have you, you know, rock climbing gear, you can have a climbing wall in the store. So the ones that have differentiated themselves, and we'll come back to that word, created experiential, you know, created an experience for the shopper, win, right, and have one. So I think it's around, you know, the store count, and I think it's a good thing that we find ourselves where we are in terms of that reduced store count, because, again, given the fact you have a good location, we're pretty excited about what's coming where there was a Macy's, a Sears, or a JCPenney. I mean, this isn't something where we're sitting here saying, you know, oh my God, what are we going to do? This situation, we're saying, geez, we're so excited. We're going to be opening up at Viewmont Mall, Dick's Sporting Goods, Field & Stream, Home Goods, that, you know, Lord knows the multiple of sales volume that they'll do over and above the, you know, the store they replace, and the additional, you know, traffic they'll generate. It's very exciting. And that will occur, will open up as a 4 or 5 stores this year. We'll open up 5, you know, new stores and where there were department stores this year alone, and a greater number next year. right? So, you know, it's there's real good news on the horizon, right?
That was going to be my next question is, how do you see things looking for the economy, for your business over the next 12 to 18 months?
You know, obviously, you know, we're in a rising interest rate environment, which, you know, our industry tends to experience a little bit of a downward blip and then an upturn in a rising interest rate environment. And, you know, I think ultimately we will prevail. The real conclusion of this is we're going through a culling process, and we've been doing this for decades. The one difference is a department store. Right, we've never experienced this amount of, you know, closures in the department store industry. If you have locations, you'll be fine. The economy, the point you raised, will cycle and continue to cycle. I think we're, depending upon who you ask, probably in the seventh inning of a 9-inning game. So we got a little bit more time in front of us, but the consumer still seems to be shopping. I'm not sure the consumer ever fully recovered from 07, 08. That may not be a bad thing for us going forward.
Why is that?
Well, I think they've got more shopping in them.
Oh, okay. So there's
they've got more shopping in them.
Pent up demand.
Right? Yep.
Joe, I appreciate you taking the time. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks, Steven.
Joe Corradino is the chairman and chief executive officer of Preet. He joined us from Philadelphia. For GlobeStreet.com, this is Steve Lubetkin, State Broadcast News.